No, I don't even know whether I'm supposed to sleep on my back or sleep on my stomach when my back is bothering me like it is now since I tweaked it.
How about you just don't think about it too much? And
I'm trying that. I'm doing that. I'm letting it heal. Oh, good advice. How about I just don't think too much about something that is bodily related,
okay,
and it'll be
but
okay.
But that's something that is not going to kill you.
That's true.
Everything that is wrong with me is deadly and terminal.
It's just going to beat me up and make me a beat up piece of meat, as Mickey, mm-hmm. as the Rourke would say, as Hollywood right. bad boy Mickey Rourke would say.
A beat up piece of acting.
I'm just a beat up piece of meat.
Beat up piece of hopeful acting award.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's see. What do you want? Let's do a little segment stuff. Let's do some segment stuff. Seth was talking about how he likes segment stuff. Let's do a little stuff other than what we're going to review
he is the
tonight.
Listener, right? So.
Yes. Welcome to the Feudal Podcast. Let's talk about any other things we've been watching and thinking about lately. You've been handling some 70s cop stuff.
A little bit.
I, speaking of the 70s, watched the original Dawn of the Dead, which I was surprised at how long it was for a movie in the 70s. It's like 2 hours and 20
said, right?
minutes long. That's what she says regularly, yeah.
That she's surprised at how long it was.
Mm-hmm.
Good one.
It's the length, not the girth.
Uh-huh. God made rock and roll for you.
That's right, just like Bogus Journey.
Rock and roll for you. Yeah.
Zach's got a little fire quick lighter thing, and he's playing with it because he's about all of 10 years old. How many is it? It's both hands, right?
10 plus 19.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, I don't know, I thought it was a good movie. It was worth
Benjamin
watching.
Button?
No,
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead, yeah. It is a little slow, it does have some problems.
Yeah, it's decent, it's enjoyable. It's light, enjoyable.
What else did I watch? I watched a few other things. I feel like I've watched some other stuff, but I don't know, whatever. What about you?
I rewatched Kindergarten Cop, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's good. It's a really good movie. My favorite part is when it's a really like fun, happy kid movie,
mm-hmm.
and then like right before it's the fun, happy kid movie,
there's
terrible
stubble.
Hardcore drug use and him blasting through a drug party with a shotgun, and then right after the fun kid movie, directly after, it's him shooting to death a man in the bathroom, and then him getting shot multiple times by the man's Beowulfish mother,
mm-hmm.
and then. Just before she blows him away one final time, lady walks in with a baseball bat, who was run over with a car a second ago, bashes her in the arms, then jacks her in the face. I think the mother's pretty much just done. She's
mm-hmm.
done. Like, I mean, she's in her 60s. She probably can't.
She's done,
much
like,
more.
Dinner.
Yeah. And then after all that, he's like, you know, he decides to stay a kindergarten teacher.
Which they wouldn't probably let him do.
No.
Because he doesn't have any degree.
No.
He doesn't know how to
And
teach.
He just endangered the lives of everyone in the school. So
I forgot that that's the way that ended. I thought that they would end it and then you'd make a joke
There's
about
a
how,
fire
like,
drill.
2 minutes later he would have to go, you know. And then, you know, 2 weeks later he's back to the drug dealing and the shotgun stuff and taking tanks.
Except when he has the kid with him. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, he's got the little dumb kid. Yes.
He's not so dumb.
That's true.
He helped him out.
I don't know. I remember feeling like a little moved in the scene when they bring him the book to read, and he's like, "I used to read this to my boy."
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And like you realize, like, oh well, he actually had a kid. Because the whole thing is like this movie about this cop that's gruff, and like, how is he ever going to relate to kids and stuff? And then you're reminded, like, oh, he actually was a father. And I don't remember. Is there some sob story there? Is it his wife and
his mom
moved away?
No, his wife left him with the kid, and she didn't want him to be part of their life because he was so. Work obsessed.
He was too grizzled and cop like.
Yeah, and so just wanted him out of their life.
Okay, well, yeah, Kindergarten Cop was a good one. I don't know why they don't make good ones like that so much anymore, do they?
Not generally. There's really nothing in that vein.
No, I mean that's a PG, right? Or PG-13? Because it's got the violent stuff.
Well, it's
at the
got
beginning.
Some foul language.
And some foul
all
language.
Throughout.
Yeah.
Plus, there's that scene where Schwarzenegger's just nailing Penelope and. Whatever her name is.
And Miller.
Miller, yeah.
Yeah.
He just nails her.
Okay.
Just plows right through.
Can I maybe get that back to borrow from you?
Yeah. You didn't realize it was the director's
cut. Just that one part.
Ivan Reitman's personal cut for his own pleasure.
But she's hot. That's cool.
She was at one point, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember? Oh,
Carlito's
nice,
Way.
Nice green screen.
Oh, yeah. A mannequin in the background.
Yeah.
Looks...
I saw The Reader,
yes.
Kate Winslet, David Cross.
David Cross is in it?
Not the David Cross. David Kross, the German actor. First major movie. You see his schlong a couple times in it. And so he's supposed to be playing a 15-year-old, and we were thinking that he's probably like 22 or something when they shot it. Turns out he was 15 when they shot it. So you're seeing a 15-year-old's wang throughout the film.
Oh my gosh.
Balls, whatever. All of it. And so you see his butt and his balls.
The rationale, isn't this supposed to be one of the obligatory World War II Holocaust movie?
It's post-World War II. It's
post-World War II.
Yeah, I got to say right off the bat, it's a fantastic film. It was something like Blindness to me in that it was, it's kind of disturbing to watch at times. It was never physically hard to watch, but it's not anything really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much to wow you in it. But the acting is phenomenal. Kate Winslet was fantastic. I'm not a Kate Winslet fan.
Okay.
First of all, she looked hideous in this film. Strip makeup off of her, and she is one ugly broad, man.
No, well, my friend Daniel would like that because he loves her in that Beautiful Creatures film where she looks kind of bloated and like she's dying.
She was young, though.
Tuberculosis, though.
She looked good in that. I liked her in that.
He likes the tuberculosis thing, but she looked like that. She looked kind of pale and sickly.
And she's nude almost the whole movie.
Okay, fantastic. What's the deal with her and the 15-year-old being nude?
Okay, so here's the movie. This it starts in modern day.
Okay.
No, 95.
What is with that?
Ralph Fiennes is this guy. He has some emotionless, sexy time with some woman. They wake in the morning. She leaves. She's like, how come you never, you don't really want me to stay ever. And he's like, oh, you know, I got stuff to do. And he's basically you. So she bails.
I wish.
She bails, and he goes and sits down and looks at some stuff. And he goes outside, and a bus is passing. And as the bus passes, he flashes back to
when he was 15.
Let's say 55.
Yeah, but if it's 95, if he's not an old man, then he wouldn't have been alive.
He's
right?
In his late 50s, something like that.
Okay, so it's supposed to be like he was like a little kid at this point?
No, he was 15 and 55, so whatever that makes him.
Gosh.
I'm no mathematician.
Yeah, I get you.
He's on a tram.
Like Eastern Europe? Is this like
post... It's West Germany.
West Germany in 55. Okay.
He gets off the tram. He's not looking too good. He ducks into a overhang of an apartment place. He starts hurling. He's obviously not doing too well. A woman walks by. She sees him hurling. She stops. She gets a bucket of water. She's like you also. She hoses down the thing. You know, she gets some water in the bucket. She puts the puke outside. She comes over, makes sure he's okay, and says, oh, you're not looking too good, kid. Takes him upstairs and... hasn't take a bath.
Okay, clean him up.
That's not right. That's not right at all. Anyway, she's nice to him. She brings him home. You know, puts him on the train. She cleans him up, helps him feel better. She's very terse.
She's Kate Winslet.
Yeah,
now?
She's very workmanlike. Doesn't say much. Turns out he has scarlet fever, something like that. So he can't go to school. He's got a very tense relationship with his parents and his brothers and sisters and at home. They don't... there's a very, like... in the book, it's based on a novel, one of Oprah's book club novels. In the book, it explains more about this, that the father was so rigid and professional that he made his kids make appointments if they wanted to see him in their own home. So they don't mention that in the movie. But
that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. So everyone in this movie is like you, basically.
Well, West German, yeah.
Yeah, right. Anyway, he decides he's going to slip away and see this woman again. He wants to thank her. The mother's like, oh, you should go thank this person who helps you, you know. And so he takes some flowers up to her. He finds her apartment again. He helps her with some coal or something like that. And he gets all covered in dirt. She thinks it's kind of funny. She's like, well, you better take a bath. And he's like, I don't know about that. She makes him take off his clothes. He feels kind of uncomfortable. And then he's about to get in the bath, and she comes up behind him naked. And
Like, so this is really just about like pedophilia then?
Well, no, it jumps into it. He is,
but it's cool because it's a dude and he's 15 and it's like nice. Listen, except Kate Winslet is hideous.
Let me explain the damn movie.
Okay, yeah.
He's very passionate toward her. She seems mostly cold and emotionless, but she kind of gets into it too.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps wanting to come back and kind of see you again. He's obviously smitten. This is his first experience with love. This was his deflowering, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
she survived the scarlet fever.
Shut up.
I guess.
Okay. She's kind of standoffish. As he comes back and she asks, you know, what he's doing in school and stuff. And after one time, and he's like, oh, I do this and this, and I'm reading this. And she's like, oh, what kind of stuff? You're a good reader. What kind of stuff you read and everything. And he's like, oh, this kind of thing. And so she's like, read to me. So he reads something. After they did it. The next time he comes back, she says, we're going to change the way we do things. You're going to read to me first, then we're going to do it.
So he starts this affair. It's like The Graduate, except it's 10 years younger or something like that.
Nothing close to it. If you interrupt me one more time,
I'm sorry.
We will have been interrupted a fifth time. So, reads a variety of things to her. Every once in a while, flashes forward to her finds again and him going about his business. We see he's a lawyer. Anyway, it gets to the point where he has an opportunity to be with, there's a very attractive young girl in his class, like, you know, one of his classes at school, when school comes back into session. His friends are all, you know, he hangs out there a lot, but he keeps, every day after school, they all go down to the swimming hole, and he can only stay there so long because he has an appointment to keep with her, and he goes and reads to her, because she loves the sound of his voice, and then they bang. And one day he says, they kind of have a little argument, and we see a quick shot of her being talked to by one of her superiors at the tram thing, and they say, the boss comes up to her and says, you know, I've looked at your reports, they're exemplary, we're moving you up, where you're getting promoted, you're going to have that best job you always wanted. And she's like, oh, great. You tell she doesn't really think it's great. The kid comes home to see her, they have a fight, they bang one more time after he reads something to her. He comes back the next day. She's gone. The place is wiped out. It's clean, wiped clean, empty. Not there. This kid, though, has been forever changed by her. She permeates his every thought, etc. Yada, yada. Cut to 8 years later, 1963. Kid's in law school. That's what he wants to do. Is in this advanced class where there's only five or six people in there. God, the mannequin's about to fall in the shredder.
My god, this is fucking brutal.
It is, dude. No. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Too bad he's so weakling. Are you kidding me? Is this gonna go out this way?
I don't remember, man.
We were both.
Don't drop me in the shredder, McCarthy.
Way too compelled.
Oh, that guy freaks out. Oh, good. And now, since it's stopped, they can pull each other to safety. And I think they all see that she's alive now. Meshach was hosing them all down, if you know what I mean.
Till it went literally.
Yeah. And snaps ran a couple times. Spader's limp wristed flailing. She's alive. Everyone can see it. I don't care who knows. I'm a real girl now. Your love saved me.
It's like some kind of Pinocchio bullshit right
Something
here.
Something like that, yeah. Okay, anyway. Okay.
So law school.
Should I give this movie away or not?
I'd rather just want to talk about the story. So yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so...
Spoiler alert for the reader, everybody.
Yeah.
Apparently in the 50s, you can have all kinds of sex and no consequences. No venereal, no VD.
They go to a trial. So they go to a trial. Part of this advanced class is they have to sit there and watch some war criminals get tried. So there's this trial about this woman and her child who survived Auschwitz and... the trial is against a bunch of female guards who supposedly picked the people who were going to be put in Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, the people who were to be put to death from a satellite camp.
Okay.
he's sitting there talking to somebody. He hears the name called of the woman.
She was one of the female guards.
She was one of them.
Is he Jewish? Do we get any sense of this or anything?
No, no. This movie's about German guilt. It's okay. About German guilt. There is a Jewish character in it, but she only comes into play at the very end. The daughter of the woman.
So the 15-year-old is...
he's like, just a German.
Just a German.
And much of the movie... So anyway, he's sitting there and... they're all disgusted by these people. Like, most of the people who are on trial are sitting there knitting. They're all just denying they did anything. They're mm-hmm. reading books while the trial's going on. This girl, Hannah Schmitz is her name. She goes up there and she's like, they're like, you know, did you pick people? And she goes, oh yeah, I did it. And they're like, what? And the whole place stops and he's just like, he's stunned. And she's like, yeah, of course I did. That's what we all did. That was what our jobs were. We all did it. And they're like, you know, you chose to do this. She's like, well, the opportunity came up to have this job, and it was much better money than what I had. What was I supposed to do? You know, like she actually at one point was a really kind of stirring moment. The judge is kind of like browbeating her for like, you know, moral, you know, kind of like lording it over her, like her bad morals and stuff. And at one point she was like, she says, what should I have done to him? And it's not rhetorical. She's asking him, mm-hmm. like, what should I have done? You know, and he doesn't have any way to answer her. He just like kind of stares at her. The secret is this, that the kid realizes halfway through the trial, and it scares him to death, is that she is now getting blamed for everything. All the other women say that she's the one who, she wrote up this paper explaining what, the big deal was they were shipping all these women somewhere,
yeah.
and the guards went with them. The train had to stop for some reason, so they stayed in this small town. They locked up all the prisoners in a church, and they all stayed in a shack. Or they were all in the church, and the prisoners were all somewhere else, and they were locked up in something else.
Okay.
A fire broke out. All the prisoners, except for two, which was the woman and her child, the Jewish people, burned alive in this church. The guards did not let them out. They then wrote this piece of paper saying the reason why they had not let them out, and Winslet explains that it was because their job was to keep order, and their only job was to keep the prisoners from escaping. That was their one job.
Okay.
And what were they supposed to do? They couldn't fail the job and all this stuff. And you know, you can tell she's a little bit behind everyone in terms of intelligence. And the secret why is this: they blame her for having written up this paper, covering it all up, and signing it. You know, all this stuff. The kid realized at this point he'd been reading to her all these years. She was illiterate. She couldn't read or write. That was her utter shame. That's why she quit the job at the tram thing, because they were going to give her a desk job she couldn't do. Her shame, hiding her shame was... They tell stories of the trial of how we thought she was the nice one because she would pick girls out who looked intelligent and they would read to her.
Yeah.
And so you never really know. And then, of course, those girls generally... The girls who she picked out... Not only did they read to her first, but then they also, you know, then they got sent away to Auschwitz.
Yeah.
So you never know if...
She did it because she was so ashamed she couldn't read.
Well, she wanted to have them read to her, and then she sent them away so they wouldn't tell her, mm-hmm. you know, anyone her secret. Or she was just doing it because she wanted them to read, you know. Anyway...
she gets hung.
Well, no, here's the thing. So she gets... he has the opportunity, and it becomes this big moral decision. It's you keep rolling your eyes.
No, it is the first time. No,
you rolled your eyes like 8 times already.
Okay, fine.
Stop flexing at me, too.
I'm sorry.
He has an opportunity to go and talk to her and let her know that he knows her secret and that he can get her sentence, you know, commuted or whatever.
Oh, God. And it's about the pride bullshit, right?
Nothing about that. He's on his way to go see her. She's waiting for a visitor. She's, you know, she's all like thinking, oh, who's going to visit me? I don't have any friends. I don't know anyone. He stops in the courtyard. He can't do it. He goes back because, the thing is, like, the German guild, every German in this thing, mm-hmm. like, when the women are paraded out there, all the people in the courtroom were screaming Nazi and stuff like that. Like, you know, the Germans were really very hateful toward Nazis after the war, people who had been involved at all, because it made them look bad. That's the whole subject of German guilt is, like, mm-hmm. you know, nobody hates the idea of Nazism more than a German. Like, nobody, because...
Well, now, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, because it's...
But the funny thing I've always loved is when history teachers and stuff, and people talk about, even in this Valkyrie movie and shit, when they talk about World War II, And they talk about it like Hitler is what they use. Right. They go, you know, so basically Hitler had a pact with the Soviets, with Joseph Stalin. It was a non-aggressive pact. And then Hitler ends up moving through Poland. And it's like, you know, Hitler was one guy. There was a whole lot of other people there with him. Hitler was an asshole. Let's keep that clear. But there were a lot of other Nazis, right. And these were bad people. And, you know, this was a whole goddamn country that, you know.
Goebbels and all those guys were.
And you can talk about World War I and the reparation stuff and the Treaty of Versailles and all how that fucked Germany up big time and put them in a position to make them right. It was a
bunch of psychos at the top.
To come back, yeah. It was
a bunch of dirty psychos at the top.
But there you go, yeah.
Anyway, he, you know, in class, he has these arguments with the other, like, five students. This one student in particular is vehemently against them even being there because it's ridiculous. And why should we even have to pretend like any of these people could be good and stuff like that? And the whole time, he wants to say something, but he can't. He feels like he can't. The teacher kind of gets that he has a secret about this. Basically, it comes down to him knowing that he could save her because she was not at fault for any of this stuff. She didn't, you know, she never knew anything she was signing. She never knew any stuff like that. He could have, you know, anyway, all the other women get off community service, whatever, a year or prison or something like that. I don't know, whatever it was. Because they weren't directly responsible for anything. Okay. They were just, you know. And then she gets 25 to life. Or she gets life in prison.
She doesn't get hung.
She gets life in prison. He's the one who's hung. Even at 15.
Wow. High five.
Yeah. Nicely.
Red eyes.
Unchopped, uncut. anyway.
Definitely not Jewish, huh?
No. He basically then immediately feels like he betrayed her, etc. It cuts to years later with a younger Ray Fiennes. I believe it's supposed to be mid-80s at this point. And completely racked with guilt, he goes back.
You can tell it's the mid-80s because the Challenger explosions in the sky, right?
Right. And there's a whole lot of... We do the walk, we do the walk of life. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of 80s music. Mm-hmm. He goes back and he finds the apartment that they used to have their rollicking tryst in.
Yeah.
And he fills the place with books.
And then rubs one out?
He fills the place with books, he gets a tape recorder, and he starts recording his voice reading all these classic books. And he starts sending them to her. And... this is the one thing that, like, seems to delight her in the world. Using this, she goes and finds one of the books in the prison library, and it's kind of the scene. All the scenes she's in are kind of sad, but there's one particular where she goes to the prison library and she goes, can I get a book? And they're like, yeah. And she's like, what? Like, she doesn't understand how books or libraries or anything works. Like, this woman has been completely insulated from all regular life. Her whole life, just because of the fact that she's been illiterate and the shame of it has, you know. So she teaches herself to read and write very slowly off of his voice reading a book that she's able to find there. It's a Chekhov short book, The Woman with a Little Dog or something like that.
Okay.
Anyway, like, over time, though, he almost becomes resentful because he just records all these things. He doesn't become resentful. He's trying to, you know, I think he's trying to, like, make up for his guilt. Uh-huh. And then she finally writes him, and he's, like, shocked. Like, oh, no, this is becoming two-sided again. And she's like, please come visit me. And he finally does right before she's about to be let go because a woman calls and says, like, listen, she's going to have nowhere to go. She has to be reintroduced to society. You know, you have to be responsible for her. And so he kind of goes, and he's very cold toward her, and they kind of, like, have a really... cold thing, and she can see that, like, things are very different. She ends up stacking a bunch of books on the table. She hangs herself. He comes to get her, you know, when he gets there, she had just died the day before, and they sit him down. He feels all bad. They give him all her belongings, including a letter she had just written explaining that she has a bunch of money in this little tin, and he wants her to give it to the girl, the Jewish girl from the camp, who's now like in her 50s or something like that, to do with what she wants. So, the last thing, it kind of ends like No Country for Old Men almost. Like, the last thing is, you finally see this woman, you hadn't really seen her before. He comes and meets with her in New York, and they have a conversation, and she's very standoffish at first, like, you know, what are you here for? Like, I'm not ever...
I got a couple bucks for you.
I'm not ever forgiving her or anyone for what's happened. It's not in my nature. I'm not going to do it. I choose not to. And, he almost seems like he's apologizing for it, but he keeps trying to make it clear that he's not, and he's like, you know, he gives her this tin, and she takes the tin, and she's like, you know, I'll take this because I had one like this in the camp, and it was taken from me, and I will keep this to, you know, to remember this, and you take the money and you do what you want with this. So he's like, well, I'm going to put it in a literacy fund or something like that.
Oh, man.
I hate you so much.
He doesn't go to a titty bar?
No. No, he's... No, this is like later on.
And that's like the credits run while he's sitting
so
there.
So anyway,
like...
you know, that's kind of it. And then he, yeah, at the end he takes his daughter from his marriage to someone, I don't know, who like they broke up a while ago, and explains her the story because he's never told anyone before because he also had his own German guilt because of what he did to a Nazi. You know, he could have got a Nazi. And, but anyway, the movie is full of fantastic... like moral quandaries and questions, like, you know, if you don't save a monster, does that make you a monster? You know, like the question of stuff like
it
that.
It sounds like it kind of convoluted on itself to the point where it started creating solutions that seemed
pretty
straightforward.
It doesn't. There's no solutions
this,
at all.
Okay, the Kate Winslet person was bad, right? Because
she did bad stuff. But okay. But she's extremely human.
But according to the letter of the law, what are we dealing with here? Is it that she didn't know she was doing such bad things, or that she was just so dumb that it didn't? Are we getting to the point of like, do you give the death penalty to someone mentally retarded?
Watch this movie for a while, and some point in the second act, you wonder if the movie's about that, but it's not. It's about the whole thing hinges on the moment where he chooses not to help her.
Yeah,
and that's what it's about. And it's very and anyway. So besides all that, the acting was phenomenal. This Michael David Cross kid was really, really wonderful. They were wonderful. Like him and Winslet were really
so good film. Huh?
Yeah, very, very good film. It sounds like you would probably hate it because you hate anything with morals. And
I like the moral.
But it didn't ever tell you what you're supposed to think.
Well, then I would
it makes you
like
wrestle
that.
With it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like the preachy stuff at all. I don't mind. I actually really do enjoy a story that can be presented with and bring up the, you know, the difficulties of gray areas. I do have problems with, like, unwieldy contrivance to make the areas grayer than they actually are in some cases, which I think you see sometimes in movies.
Right.
Or I do have problems with a gray area being made black and white by, you know, one action. Interesting. So that was a reader, huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
Rated R.
Rated R.
For great, great amounts of media. I tried but could not break the best of everything. Too breathless then. Are you like flexing your?
I just did that for some reason.
That's really weird, dude. I was almost like the thing where the guys can like make their pecs do that thing. You were just doing that with your biceps. I was talking to you. Like,
I know,
are
and
you
I
trying really, to, are you trying I, to frighten me?
No,
are you
I
intimidate
I,
me?
I did that, but I was. I think it's nerve damage from my back. I don't know why.
Nerve
I did
damage
that.
From your back makes you.
I'm feeling want, very.
Want to try to intimidate
I'm very,
me and show me
very,
how bad.
I'm very jittery. Did that show? Did that wasn't would intimidate anybody. It's like an undulation.
But it looks like something you think would do so.
No, I know how to intimidate people.
Yeah? How's that?
With
kindness?
With kindness.
And bending over backwards for them, picking up things when they drop them on
because, the floor. Because they've got to know, like, you know, one of these days, he's not going to do that. And it's going to be scary.
That's going to be frightening the day you know.
Frightening.
One day someone's going to drop a napkin in front of you. You're just going to stare at it and look at them.
You better pick that up.
What's going to happen?
What, you're not going
like,
to pick
oh my
it
gosh,
up?
I can't believe. What if you think you could ever frighten your brother like that?
Every now and again, I've gotten him to come to position.
I don't believe it.
No.